And our last speaker for this session is Ms. Kelly Rowland. She is the Adolescent Health Coordinator working with the Bureau of Family Health for the Pennsylvania Department of Health in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Thank you. As Katie spoke earlier about the roundtable that was held in Memphis, I'm now going to give you the perspective of what we did from the state perspective, working with the local health bureau and our state coalition. I have no relationships to disclose. The goal of our project was to select, implement, and evaluate a science-based teen pregnancy prevention in the city of Allentown. The team that we had, as Katie spoke earlier, there was a requirement when you formed a team, you had to have somebody from the state health department, a local health department, and a community-based organization. We selected the Pennsylvania Coalition to Prevent Teen Pregnancy, as it was a statewide coalition, and the Allentown Health Bureau. And Susan and Belle are here with me today in the audience, and they can answer any questions if you have specific questions for their organizations. Next, I'd like to talk about why we selected the team we did. As far as the Pennsylvania Coalition to Prevent Teen Pregnancy, the department had an existing relationship with them. One of our team members actually sits on the board of the coalition, and we use them as a resource. They are very knowledgeable of what's going on in the field of teen pregnancy, so we often look to them if we have questions about what's new and exciting that we may not have heard about, and we also share information with them as to what we're doing within the department. In addition, the Pennsylvania Coalition to Prevent Teen Pregnancy had been selected by the CDC as one of their partners in the five-year cooperative to promote science-based approaches to prevent teen pregnancy, so we knew they were very knowledgeable on the subject already. And finally, due to that partnership with the CDC, we knew they were experienced in providing technical assistance to local organizations. At the Department of Health, we provide grants to a lot of organizations. We ourselves do not run a lot of programs or do specific programming, so we knew that their technical assistance they provide to local organizations would be very helpful. So next is why we selected Allentown. There are several counties and municipalities in our state that are members of CityMatch and have local health departments. But we picked Allentown for several reasons. The first being we had an existing relationship with them. We provide funding to them to provide maternal and child health services. However, that grant did not include teen pregnancy prevention funding, but we did have an ongoing relationship with Belle and her organization. In addition, the data really supported a need for a science-based teen pregnancy prevention in Allentown. In the past decade, nationally and in Pennsylvania, the birth rates have declined, while Allentown rates have remained level or actually slightly increased in some years. And lastly, we do not currently fund any teen pregnancy prevention program in Allentown, which is our state's third largest city. Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, of course, are our largest cities, and we already funded teen pregnancy prevention programs in that area, so we were looking for a new area to serve. I just have two slides on some data for Allentown. The percent change in the number of teen births for 15 to 19-year-olds for Allentown in Pennsylvania. And as you can see, from 2000 to 2006 in Allentown, the number of teen births increased by 7.59%, while for that same time period, the number of teen births in the state as a whole decreased by 4%. In this next slide, we're looking at the teen birth rate, and this is for 15 to 17-year-olds. The previous slide was 15 to 19-year-olds. As you can see, the birth rate for Allentown is more than double the statewide rate. In 2000, the Allentown rate was 57.9, and in 2006, it basically remained level and was at 57.4. And for those of you that aren't familiar with teen pregnancy, when we calculate birth rate, it's per 1,000 teens of that age group. While for the same time periods, the statewide rate was 19.5, and it slightly decreased in 2006 to 16 per 1,000. At the roundtable we attended in Memphis that was sponsored by AmChip and CityMatch, we created an action plan that consisted of the following. In January of 2008, we would prepare for the first stakeholders meeting in the city of Allentown, and this preparation consisted of things such as identifying stakeholders, getting the support from the heads of the Allentown Health Bureau and the Department of Health. We had the blessing to attend the roundtable in Memphis, and we just wanted to make sure we had continued support to move forward with the project, and then setting up the logistics of the meeting. Where would it be held that was most conducive to bringing the stakeholders in? And so we planned on having the meeting just at the Allentown Health Bureau site. In February of 2008, we planned to have our first stakeholders meeting. From March to June of 2008, we planned on doing our program planning, including the needs assessment and logic model and selection of a program. And we had hoped by October of 2008 to have a completed grant agreement and a program begin date. Now I'm going to talk about what actually happened, because as we know, even the best laid plans don't always go as anticipated. Our first stakeholder meeting was held in Allentown in April of 2008, so it was a couple of months after we had initially planned, but we had very good representation. We had representatives from the medical community, faith-based organizations, a homeless shelter, and community-based organizations. After that first meeting, we had four additional stakeholder meetings from April to June of 2008. And we had really good continued participation. Our attendance at these meetings did not drop off over the three-month period. The community was really excited about the program, and you know, that was shown by their continued participation. At the last meeting in June of 2008, the stakeholder group recommended the priority population, the characteristics the selected science-based teen pregnancy prevention curriculum should have, and community sites where they felt the program should be held at. We had initially hoped that the community stakeholder group would recommend a specific science-based teen pregnancy prevention program. However, as it was a very diversified group and teen pregnancy was not their sole focus, the group did not feel they could recommend a specific program, that they had the knowledge of all the science-based programs that were available. And so they recommended characteristics they thought a program needed to have. What we did then, our Pennsylvania team, the Allentown Health Bureau, myself, and the Pennsylvania Coalition to Prevent Teen Pregnancy, looked at the stakeholder group's recommendations, and we selected a science-based teen pregnancy prevention program that best fit the population, and that program was Making Proud Choices. After the we made the selection of Making Proud Choices, in August of 2008, we met with community sites to confirm their commitment to hosting the selected program at their site. And it is important to note that after this meeting, one of the sites we initially felt would be willing to host the program dropped out because they were not comfortable with the content of the program. They also receive abstinence-only funding, and they felt the program was a conflict of that programming versus the science-based programming. So we did have one site after program selection that did drop out and say they were not willing to host the program. How has the collaboration worked? This was a big part of the roundtable in Memphis of how would this collaboration work, as it was a new collaboration. However, we felt we were very successful. All of the partners, the Department of Health, the Pennsylvania Coalition, and Allentown participated in all the stakeholder meetings. And in addition, we had conference calls in between the meetings to really make sure we were prepared for the upcoming meetings and we could keep on track. In addition, the PCPTP providing technical assistance to Allentown in the form of leading the stakeholder meetings and the needs assessment process was very valuable, as they were familiar with the process and could keep the stakeholders focused and on task. So we completed the needs assessment in a timely manner, even though our initial meeting was held later than we initially planned. Some of the challenges we came across as we were doing this project was meeting the timeframes established in our action plan, visualizing how the program would be implemented in Allentown, such as where would the program be conducted and who would conduct the program. We had to address several issues, such as would the Allentown Health Bureau need to hire staff, would they subcontract with organizations that already had health educators, and should they hold the program locally at the Health Bureau, or would it be more well received in a community-based organization? And these were some things that we all addressed it as a team and through the stakeholder meetings. And the final challenge, as is often a very familiar challenge, is establishing funding for the program, which I'm going to talk about a little later. We overcame these challenges by adjusting the timeframes as needed, holding conference calls and in-person meetings to accomplish tasks quickly. I can't tell you the countless number of conference calls that our team held before and after meetings to make sure we knew what needed to be done so we could keep things moving. Our state process for getting a grant through is about a six-month process, so we had to move very quickly to get the program selected so we could write our grant and get it into our approval process. And as I stated earlier, we really all worked together to come up with an implementation plan, which we then turned into the draft grant agreement, work statement, and budget. And that had to be a very detailed work statement with the time frames and who was going to do what and the budget for the project. Some successes we had was the Allentown Health Bureau really had a great relationship and knew their community stakeholders and knew the right people to invite to the stakeholder meetings, which really contributed to the success of this effort. In addition, we did have teens and families participate in one of the stakeholder meetings, which really helped establish the priority population, the program model, and the community sites. They provided really good insight as to what type of program they would be interested in attending and where they would attend a program and feel most comfortable. So this is the big one. Where are we now? Unfortunately, we have had to suspend program implementation due to lack of funding. However, this is a very new development. It was just about 2 weeks ago we were notified that there was no funding for the project, and so we're working with the Allentown Health Bureau and the Pennsylvania Coalition to Prevent Teen Pregnancy and some of the Department of Health's other grantees to get funding for this program. So we're hoping to be able to move forward in the very near future, as we have a work statement written, we have a budget written, we just have to come up with the money, and we didn't have a lot budgeted for this program. We were hoping to do it on the first year on about $55,000, so we are hopeful that we'll be able to come up with that amount of funding. In conclusion, I want to talk about some future collaborations that came out of this project. The Pennsylvania Coalition to Prevent Teen Pregnancy selected the Allentown Health Bureau as one of their local partners in their Promoting Science-Based Approaches project, which is their CDC funding they receive. And the Department of Health is now going to be working with the Pennsylvania Coalition and requiring all of our grantees that get teen pregnancy prevention money to implement science-based programming and work with the coalition to receive training on those programs. That's all I have for you today. Thank you.
I want to thank all of the presenters today for their wonderful presentations. Let's give them one more hand of applause. And we have a couple of minutes to invite you to ask questions. Do you have any questions of any of our presenters? Sure.
We have not. The question was, have we had any challenges working with the ab-only funding? And In our bureau, we actually have another division that does the abstinence-only programming. So we actually kind of have it in separate divisions, where my programs did the more comprehensive programs, and then another division did the abstinence-only. The community-based organizations we met with were all very supportive of the science-based comprehensive programming that we were going to do. We had several questions of, are you really going to fund comprehensive sex education and the science-based programming, because there were several sites that got the abstinence-only funding, and only one of them backed out due to them thinking there was going to be a conflict. But the other organizations really thought that they were large enough organizations that they could have both a science-based program and still continue to do their abstinence-only programs if they kept them separate.
To what extent do you think corporate partners participate in FOC, and how do you constrain the action of corporations who may have a financial interest in promoting certain types of food products in the context of a consortium like this?
Chris has a little insider information. CLOC has a corporate advisory committee that's made up of a number of corporations, some of which are in the food and beverage industry. And you can go on our website and see who those are. Our philosophy, again, is one of structural and systems change, and we believe that in order to change the food environment, you have to engage with people that are in it. We only work with corporations that invest in demand change, so only those that are willing to think about how they market food, the kinds of products that they're delivering. Again, the concept of understanding that your partners will always act as they are. We know that corporations are going to always be interested in the bottom line, but those that understand that their bottom line is going to be affected over time if they don't start creating healthier options and marketing those healthy options. And so working with them in partnership, we can have the kinds of sort of closed-door conversations with them about the obesity epidemic and their potential positive role as well as their actual negative role that they play. So we don't, you know, we can't control what they do, but we can openly talk about why we think it's positive or negative what they do. And we can present them with options, ways to do things differently. We can link them to other organizations that can help to educate them about their capacity, again, on the positive and the negative side. Specifically for us, we have a number of guidelines in place for corporate partners, so there's no branding. Their logos don't appear on anything we do. We keep the amount of funding, it's about 10% of our overall budget that comes from our corporate partners, and they don't have any control over what we do with that money. And they also sign on understanding that we will make policy decisions, bring in speakers, intervention-based decisions without seeking the approval of our corporate partners, and they understand that. And so sometimes we run up against, you know, we go after policies or implement initiatives that they themselves would prefer that we didn't, but that's part of the work. And we found it to be a really successful relationship in that way. You know, we're sort of very clear up front with the expectations and understanding. And it allows us to create a trusting environment to really have sometimes difficult conversations.
You know, I think that question is just so important at this point, where we have to invite and include the private sector folks, and more broadly than just, say, the healthcare stakeholders, the chamber, all of these folks to the table. And what we asked a little bit on this question with our four counties, and how do you keep it together? And one thing we found is you need to push up the responsibility as high up in those players as possible. You need to bring the CEOs to the meetings. You need to reduce the administrative burden on those folks, because among our stakeholders, you have the issue of competition among the private providers, and you have to work that through. You do things in closed door. There should be closed door meetings. So I think we're getting to that point where we understand process-wise what we can do to include those folks in a way, because they have to be at the table. They may not be the biggest monetary donors in some respects, but they are key to creating systems change in your communities.
Thank you all very much for your time. If you have any additional questions or would like to speak to any of our presenters, please stop by. Otherwise, have a great day.
Our project has really taken off in the last year because of people working closer with DOH.
They're training.
We're having that partnership. It's key. It's the main thing that's made us successful in this whole CDC project is helping up with DOH. Not that we weren't tied already, but it's just been a stronger connection.
You have a reason to do it, and you have set time to do it.